Hi, this is David X, and welcome to the Global Hypnosis Summit's special presentation on conversational covert hypnosis. Today we'll be exploring one of the things I love and one of the things I'm most passionate about, which is the study, use, and practice of conversational hypnosis through the use of language patterns. Today's module is called Stealth, and you're probably wondering, what the heck does Stealth actually stand for? Well, stay tuned in just a minute because we're going to tell you exactly what it stands for and how you can begin to use it instantly and effortlessly and automatically to transform your life and magnify your hypnotic abilities tenfold. Stay tuned.
Stealth, strategic suggested through easily applied linguistically triggered hypnosis. In a nutshell, the studied use and practice of hypnotic language patterns. But what are hypnotic language patterns exactly? Simply put, and as plainly as I can state it, a hypnotic language pattern is a verbal structure that mirrors the way people think. The truth of the matter is that our thoughts have a structure. That structure is mirrored in the word that we use. Conversely, any time somebody speaks to us, we must convert and break apart that structure and recreate it inside our minds in order for us to understand what's being said. That, in a nutshell, is the magic of hypnotic language. And it's because of this pattern, it's because of the way the unconscious mind works, that we can begin to use hypnotic language patterns effectively to really get what we want and to help our clients and our subjects out there in the real world get what they want too. So let's move into this. How do language patterns actually work? Well, the patterns we're going to be sharing with you today are patterns that force the mind of the listener to accept a specific type of structure to their thoughts. In other words, they have to create this structure inside your mind in order to really understand what you're saying. And because all of this happens at the unconscious or pre-conscious level, people quickly look upon what you're saying as being their own idea. The suggestions are accepted and processed long before they reach conscious awareness, and you have one heck of a powerful way to hypnotically communicate with other people. Now, there's a lot of other good things that go along with this too. So let's move on. Just to reiterate, at the lower portion of your screen here, see if I can find my little cursor. In order to understand what's being said, people literally have to mirror the structure of what you said in their minds. So they've already done it the minute they've heard it. I'm kind of rushing ahead here. This is done at the preconscious level. It's done through something we call a transderivational search, or in some cases, presupposition. A transderivational search is merely your unconscious's mind attempt to decide the meaning of any communication it receives. Presuppositions are the linguistic equivalent of assumptions. In other words, when you hear a sentence, there's a lot of things in that sentence based on its structure that we must assume to be true in order for us to have a context to make sense of that sentence. A transderivational search is literally when your mind hears a suggestion or your mind hears a language pattern of any kind, random or not, it automatically searches for the definition of every word in that structure, and it pulls up all the definitions simultaneously. And based on the presuppositions in your language and the context in which you were communicating in, your unconscious mind spits up what it believes to be the most appropriate context that you're consciously focusing on. Now, the truth of the matter is, it fires them all, which means the minute they've heard it, all of the associations that are possible for your language are fired. But there's a sorting process that goes on. It's this sorting process that gives relevance to our communication. But, again, all this stuff is happening below the conscious level. So long before it reaches your conscious awareness, you've pretty much already done it. The problem, of course, in learning how to use use language patterns effectively is that, well, darn it, there's a heck of a lot of them. Researchers over the past 20, 30, 40 years, however long it's been, have uncovered over 31 distinct language patterns. Each one has a unique and specific effect. Many of them, unfortunately, for our purposes, are hard to use without sounding forced, confusing, or artificial. In other words, they're not practical. If you've ever tried to use some of the Ericksonian language patterns out in the real world, you really kind of lose patience in certain from your subjects in certain contexts, because a lot of the Ericksonian stuff is designed to elicit confusion in your listener, because confusion is a gateway to trance. And when you've got someone quiescent in the chair and telling vivid and compelling stories in, you know, slow, meandering tone and so forth like that, those things work in that context. But the minute you get out in the real world, well, the rules change. You need something that's completely conversational, completely covert, and is easily applicable to any situation you find yourself in. So that brings us to the question, of the 31 language patterns or more that NLP teaches or Ericksonian hypnosis teaches, or you might find in a linguistics class, which ones do you use when? And how the heck do you know what's the right one, and how do you do it without sounding too strange? And how do you do that all while holding the conversation or trying to, you know, keep the attention of the person you're trying to communicate with? The cool thing about the language patterns we're about to discuss in just a very short time is they are completely covert, they're totally natural sounding, and they work regardless of the context or usage that you're in. Let's talk about the secret to nuclear-powered language. Why are these language patterns so powerful compared to the other 31-plus patterns out there? Well, first of all, they're the most overlooked and underestimated among the language patterns. They're more powerful and easy and effective than thought binds or embedded commands. In fact, if you're using thought binds and embedded commands, if you're working with someone who's actually trained in NLP or hypnosis or some form of covert persuasion, you're probably going to send up little red flags right away. However, if you wrap everything that you do in the 7 language patterns I'm going to be teaching you, you're going to discover very, very quickly that while they're busy trying to parse out all the embedded commands or the thought binds, all your other language is slipping in through the back door, and they're just going deeper and deeper into trance. In fact, the harder they try to analyze what you're doing, the more quickly you go into trance. It's that powerful. In fact, it works so powerful, it works even if they know what you're doing. The other cool thing about this particular set of patterns I'm going to be sharing with you is that they turn everything that you say into an utterly compelling hypnotic induction. They even work in writing, over the phone, and in email. I've hypnotized tons of people through Instant Messenger using these language patterns. Matter of fact, I think in some cases it may actually be more effective doing some of these things in writing. However, there are some rules that you have to follow when you're doing these patterns in writing. And we'll talk about those in just a minute. The other really magical thing about this particular set of language patterns is that they influence large groups of people just as easily as you can influence a single person. That's really, really powerful, because that means you can use them on stage, you can use them in any group situation, and everybody hearing your words automatically begins to find themselves feeling a little more relaxed, a little more focused and fascinated by you. And as you focus and become fascinated on the speaker, everything they say starts to be accepted faster and deeper, and you start to have more and more influence in your own life as these words sink in and your unconscious mind starts to pay attention. Now, let's talk about the Magnificent 7 plus or minus 2. Just to recap, though, why are these 7 patterns so absolutely powerful? Well, they're completely covert. They're not scripted. They're things that you can say instantaneously on the fly, anytime, anywhere. They're such fundamental small chunks of our English language or any English-based language that simply utilizing these structures with more precision causes you to become a more compelling speaker. They can instantly induce trance anytime, anywhere when used properly. In fact, in some of the patterns we're going to be sharing with you, you can induce trance in as little as 1 to 3 words. And you don't even have to tell somebody to go into trance. Simply going through the process of hearing your language easily and naturally, automatically begins to lull them into a wonderful state of trance. That just feels really good. And as you just kind of zone out and pay attention, the information just starts to enter your unconscious mind in a powerful and hypnotic way that feels really good. And the better you feel, the more quickly you learn how to use these patterns. Now, they also don't sound like a language pattern. And they work in any combination. And because of all these other things, they're easy to use anytime and anywhere. So what are these patterns? And if they're so fundamental, why didn't we realize them before? Well, the simple fact is because they're so fundamental, we overlook them. And everybody's always looking for the sexy techniques when it comes to covert or conversation, hypnosis, or NLP. The truth of the matter is, it's the foundations of language. It's the building blocks that make you powerful. Master these foundations, and everything else you do becomes 10 times more powerful, or more. So, what are the mega? Well, here they are in a nutshell. If you look to your, should be your right here.
Adverb adjective presuppositions, cause and effect presuppositions, complex equivalence, awareness, spatial presuppositions, temporal and ordinal presuppositions, and direct commands. Now, let's talk about this whole Magnificent Seven plus or minus two thing real quick and why it's so important. It's important because you have to understand the strengths and limitations of both parts of your mind. Your conscious mind can only track 7 plus or minus 2 bits of information per second, per context, and usually has to be in a linear fashion. And that 7 plus or minus 2 is equivalent to a functional chunk size. Now, the interesting thing about the conscious mind is that you can give a string of numbers, like, for instance, 3, 2, 3, 2, 1, 7, 9, and your mind will group that as 7 discrete elements. But you could also go 3, 2, 3, 3, 0, 4, 2, 1, 7, 9. And now you've got 3 elements with 3 units in each, which actually makes it easier for your conscious mind to follow and remember. You could memorize these patterns one at a time, and you would have no problem with that. You've structured the learning process that way. But I want you to actually take these 7 language patterns now, and I want you to group them into families. In other words, we're going to cover in a particular order the adverb adjective presupposition, the awareness presupposition, the temporal, ordinal, and the spatial as one family. So you have one family of 4 language patterns. These all work very powerfully, very synergistically together. Okay? The other family of language patterns within the Magnificent Seven is the cause, effect, and complex equivalence combined with direct commands. Now, why do we do it this way? Cause, effect, and complex equivalence are so close, yet different, the differences are important, that they're almost always used together, and synergistically they work very powerfully. Direct commands also are very, very linear in their application. Adverb adjective presupps, awareness, spatial, and temporal ordinal all have an affinity for one another, that you can flow in and out of them very, very easily. If you wrap a cause and effect complex equivalent statement in an adverb adjective presupposition, spatial awareness, and all these other good things, it becomes extraordinarily hard to even linguistically dissect, let alone resist. In fact, the very act of trying to dissect and resist these particular language patterns causes people to go even deeper into trance, because the minute you start to analyze what I'm saying, you start to focus your attention to what I've just said, which means your awareness is no longer on what I'm saying, which means there's a clear path to your unconscious mind, and you just go deeper into trance. It's kind of cool. Well, let's move on. Oops. So, adverb adjective presuppositions. Now, I'm going to say this later on in the training, but for an understanding of the adverb adjective family, and the other 3 language standard patterns that we're going to be using in conjunction with this, remember this. There is no difference between a vivid description and a direct command. Get that? There is no difference between a vivid description and a direct command. If I were to come up to you and say, stop going to trance right now and give me everything I want, and feel this way and do it that way and feel good about it, most people would look at me and say, and I know I kind of mouth that, but I think you get the point. However, if I were to tell you to just stop for a moment and imagine a time when you had an instant learning, like maybe a time when you were younger and the first time you saw somebody flip on a light switch, and then they flipped it off, and you recognized, even though you didn't know how you knew it, you instantly recognized for all the right reasons that flipping the switch up caused the lights to come on. Flipping the switch down, well, that caused the light to go off. But you learned it instantly. Well, your life is filled with thousands and thousands of instant learnings, of one-shot learnings, where you just saw something, you understood it intuitively and logically for all the right reasons. Now, understanding that you've done that before, you can feel really good about all those times that you learned fast. Now, with me, as we continue to go deeper and deeper into this study, you'll naturally begin to understand the power of an adverb adjective presupposition, an awareness presupposition, a spatial presupposition, and a temporal ordinal presupposition, because every single one of them describes something. And there is no difference between a compelling description and a direct command. But let's go deeper now into the study of the adverbs and adjective presupposition. And you don't need to be a master in English to understand this. In a nutshell, adverbs and adjectives are simply descriptors. Adverbs describe verbs, adjectives describe nouns. What do these language patterns actually do inside your mind? First things first is they eliminate mental friction. They force the mental pictures to be exactly what we want them to be. And everything that follows is presupposed. Remember I said earlier that there's two ways that your mind works when it starts to process language patterns. One is a transderivational search. The other is through presuppositions, which are the linguistic equivalent of assumptions. There are things and ideas and concepts inherent in the structure of what we're saying that we must assume are true and act as if they are true in order to understand the message we're receiving through the sentence. So let's move on here. Now, words in this category cover easily, naturally, unlimited, simply, logically, intuitively, and utterly. These are just examples. There are literally thousands and thousands of words that fit into the adverb adjective presupposition category. What I want you to do now is I'm going to give you a brief exercise. I'm going to demonstrate it first, and then I'm going to give you some time to go do it on your own. But I want you to go ahead and look up or come up with 3, 4, 5, 6 examples of this. I don't know. You'll notice that almost all adverb adjective presuppositions tend to end in an ly. Not all of them do, but that's a pretty good way to figure out what's an adverb and what's an adjective. So here's the first exercise. We call it word salad, but it's really not word salad. It's a way to learn how to build your language around certain types of words. And the way you do this particular exercise is you start at the top, and in the order, or as close to the order as you can, you're going to begin to speak and try to, and do your best, really, to sound as, what's the word? Sound like you're making sense as much as possible. And literally just go down this list of words, creating a story or a compelling hypnotic description. And would you ever actually use all these in this order in the real world? Well, you could. You could. But the exercise is in learning how to build language around specific markers within the sentence structure. So here's an example. As you easily begin to explore the power of these naturally occurring language structures, you quickly begin to understand, for all the right reasons, the unlimited ways that simply speaking in these words and in this structure logically and intuitively causes people to have thoughts that mirror exactly what you're saying, and then begin to truly move them in a way that's utterly powerful, hypnotic, and compelling. So as you continue to learn quickly, easily, and naturally for all the right reasons to get what you want, you'll truly begin to intuitively figure out how to use these words in a logical, simple, effective manner that gives you unlimited possibilities in your skills as naturally and as easily as possible. Get it? Now, what did I do? Well, the exercise was simply to start at the top of the page, move all the way down to the bottom. And then what I did was because I was having fun riffing, and you'll discover very quickly that this stuff is fun, I just started back up the list. And I used basically the same words to create a very powerful, compelling, hypnotic suggestion. And even though I kind of meandered here and there, we went right up through the list. And did you notice how you started to feel now as I continued to talk using those language structures? There was this sing-songy kind of la-la effect where you heard everything I said, you were focused in a certain way, and yet I'll bet if I asked you to repeat back to me even one or two sentences of what I said, you'd find it very, very difficult. And that's because one of the natural side effects of using this type of language is amnesia. You could literally say the sentence three or four times exactly the same way using these patterns, and it would be very hard for somebody, unless they're specifically told to, you know, remember this word or remember this sentence, to repeat verbatim exactly what you said. But they get the message, and that's what's important. All that information goes right into the unconscious mind, and it's processed. So now, that's the first exercise. So what I want you to do now is I want you to stop the video, just pause it, and practice that. This is a practice, this is a workshop on video. So I want you to fully use these patterns and do these exercises, because that's the only way you can really make some serious headway with this. Okay, welcome back. And right now we're going to go into the next part of the adverb adjective presupposition. And now what I want you to do is I want you to begin to understand why we need to structure language this way. So what I'm going to do now is I'm actually going to give you a little bit of a compare and contrast. Now you can hear what I say, and you can watch me gesture and all that good stuff, and you can also pay attention to the text on the other side of your screen as I go through this, because so now you'll have a visual reference, a digital reference, as well as a visual reference here. So, what I want you to pay attention to is the difference in the way your mind creates the mental representations inherent in the sentence. So let's look at the first one. The dog was blue. Now, let's stop for a minute and back that up. When I said the dog, what color was your dog? I'm betting it was anything but blue. Am I right? Yeah. How did I know that? Because I deliberately used a very nonsensical sentence to create a more compelling demonstration for you. The truth of the matter is the minute you hear the word dog, your unconscious mind starts sorting through every conceivable definition, memory, or fact or bit of data it has about dog, and it spits it up. Now, what happened next, though, when I said the dog was blue, all of a sudden, now we have a little bit more specificity about the dog. In other words, it's no longer a brown dog or a white dog or whatever it was that was in your mind. Okay? Now the dog is blue. So what actually happened inside your mind was you had to go, stop, back up, make the dog blue, and move forward again. That's literally, in a nutshell, what happens when you put the descriptor, in other words, there's my arrow here, when you put the subject before the description. Now, as long as you're vague, you can get away with some of this, but here's the bottom line. Check out this next sentence. The green monkey. Notice how much more easily your mind created a vivid and compelling description. And notice that it was exactly what I wanted it to be. In other words, when I said the dog was blue, your dog was probably not blue until I said was blue. But when I said green, all of a sudden, poof, there's this green, and boom, there's a monkey in it. And that's what we want. We want to eliminate the necessity for your subjects, and the subject is anyone who is hearing your hypnotic language patterns. Now, we do make a distinction, and we teach you more of this in Killer Influence and in CPI, between a client and a subject. A subject is anybody out in the world who is under your influence, or you are seeking to influence. A client is somebody who is coming to you for a service of some kind. They're paying you money for a specific result, and they're under your protection. Okay? Different set of rules apply when you're working with clients and when you're working with subjects out in the real world. Alright? Small distinction, but important. And, of course, this particular course makes certain assumptions. One of which is, of course, that you have a strong sense of personal ethics, because this stuff is powerful. So please use it in direct congruence with your sense of right and wrong and what works best for you. So let's look at a couple more sentences and go even further into this. The seductively sweet tone of voice profoundly excited him. You see where all the descriptors are here? Oh, where's my... I keep losing my cursor, guys. The seductively sweet tone of voice. Description, subject, profoundly excited him. So here we are again. Adjectives describe thing. Profoundly excited him. Notice how everything that follows each of these is presupposed in the sentence. You have to start here. You literally start hearing a seductively sweet tone of voice in your mind. Now you notice I did not say her seductively sweet tone of voice, nor did I say his seductively sweet tone of voice. Why did I do that? I would be too specific at this point in time. But if you're female, actually most of you probably started to visualize a female because, well, even though this is the modern age, most of us still think in terms of heterosexual relationships. But I think you get the point. Seductively sweet tone of voice. Notice how that just kind of makes your mind go, isn't that cool? Now, this next sentence is going to be a little bit longer, and it's written poorly. It's done wrong. But I want you to notice just how rough this gets. I'm not trying to front load you, but you know, you need examples. So check this out. Her dress that was covered with pink and yellow polka dots, had a red ribbon on the front, and was brown in color, suddenly fell off. It's like, when I said dress, what color was your dress? I'm betting it wasn't brown. When I said covered with pink and yellow polka dots, instantly whatever color dress you had pink and yellow polka dots on it. Regardless of whether you thought it was ugly or not. And then all of a sudden, poof, there's a red ribbon on it. Wasn't there before. And then, of course, the dress turned brown right before it suddenly fell off. Now, what's important about this is that this is actually the structure that a lot of very boring, hard-to-read prose is done in. Any kind of speech given with this kind of language will instantly drive people into mental torture. They'll literally escape what you're saying into trance, which is another way of getting people into trance, but it doesn't make you a compelling speaker that'll get invited back to speak again. It'll simply mean that the information going in will go in outside of conscious awareness, and because it has no conscious recall pathway, they don't remember it. It's there, they just can't access it. But when you begin to talk in such a way that everything you do begins to compel the imagination, begins to move people in a direction where the descriptions are exactly what you want them to have in a way that feels absolutely natural, then people just suddenly get lulled into what you're saying. Before you know it, there are whole movies playing inside your head that are exactly what you want the people to experience. But because it's the people hearing you making up their own internal representations with as little mental friction as possible, they quickly begin to create movies that are unique, specific, and targeted to themselves using their own internal ecological resources. And that means they're getting a message that's tailored exactly to what they want to hear in a way that's right for them. So by using your adverb adjective presuppositions in exactly the way I described, by putting them before the things you wish to describe, you automatically become a more powerful, hypnotic, and compelling speaker. But let's look now at what else this pattern does for you. By the way, did you see the difference in the way this works? Now, here's a real quick exercise. Oops, sorry. Here's a real quick exercise. If you want to see just how powerfully this can work, what you can do now is you can actually pause the tape and take this sentence, write it out as it is, and then move the descriptors around. So it might sound something like this. Her pink yellow polka dot green, let me see if I can put this in a somewhat, her brown yellow polka dotted dress had a red ribbon on the front and suddenly fell off. Notice how I put the descriptors before the things they describe, which makes it that much more easy to create a mental picture. Even if I didn't get all the descriptors in there, you can begin to see how just changing the structure of your language automatically causes people to have the internal representations you want, and that begins to move people in a direction that you want them to go. So, adverb adjectives work because All compelling communication works this way. It captures and leads the imagination. And like I said before, there is no difference between a vivid description and a direct command. So if you learn to speak in these words, everything you do becomes more compelling and more descriptive. And when you become more compelling and more descriptive, you naturally capture and lead people's imagination, which means your unconscious mind is going exactly where it needs to go to get the maximum effect. Now, here's the consequence of not talking this way. Remember the real earlier sentence? Let me go back real quick. This sentence right here. Hold on, where's my... In a sentence like this, people will only revise their internal pictures for a limited amount of time before they start to get tired. It's too much effort. We've talked about this in other videos. We talked about this in my CPI course. We talked about this in Killer Influence. People have the same response to intense thinking or analysis as they do to pain or discomfort. When you force somebody to keep revising their internal pictures, it takes energy. It takes effort. They don't like it. They'll only do it for so long before they stop. The minute they stop, they'll fall out of rapport. When they fall out of rapport, they stop paying attention. In fact, it could actually get worse for you, because the minute people fall out of rapport, they start mismatching and start dissecting what you're saying. And I think I might have covered this in the introduction, but if not, I'll say it again here. Rapport is a trance. Rapport is equal to trance. The degree that you have rapport is the degree that you have somebody in a profound trance state. Now, the amount of resistance you meet in the real world, as far as your persuasion and influence skills go, is inversely proportional to the amount of rapport that you have. As rapport goes up, resistance goes down. So does mismatching and analytical behavior. People just take what you say at face value. The deeper it goes, the more they just go along. Conversely, you lose rapport, they start parsing what you say more and more and more. Keep that in mind. All right, let's talk about the strategic application of these skills. Now, descriptors before the things they describe. I don't think I can say it any plainer than that. For instance, the blue dog, vividly compelling and utterly breathtaking. When you speak, what you want to do is you want to use as many of these as possible without sounding too strange. And actually, one of the places where the adverb adjective presupposition really shines is in speaking, because you can literally load them up on the front end. So as you easily, naturally, and automatically begin to intuitively understand how to use these patterns powerfully, you'll instantly begin to have more compelling and breathtaking conversations that literally draw your listener in and create vivid mental pictures inside your mind that are exactly what you want them to be, that lead the imagination of your subject to the conclusion you want them to have. In fact, more often than not, they'll just instantly and effortlessly, logically and intuitively, for all the right reasons, come up with it as if it were their own idea. It's a pretty cool thing. You should try it. You should do it more often. Now, you notice that what I did with the lesson is what I call the triple. Now, if you look down here on your screen, lower right-hand corner, you see, use triples to induce trance. You have to be careful. This particular pattern, when you start speaking them, will induce trance in under 5 words. The average person, the average untrained person's critical factor can process 7 ± 2 bits of information every second before it goes into overwhelm. And a lot of inductions that you learn in hypnosis work off this premise. We overwhelm the conscious mind, it runs screaming into trance. Cool, works great on hyperanalytical people. You can use, when you start using the adverb adjective presupposition, what actually happens is that 7 ± 2 goes down to 5 ± 2. So literally, you can start dropping people, overwhelming the critical factor, in 3 words or less. So as you easily, naturally, and automatically begin to get using triples effectively, you can also begin to understand how this could work for you or it could work against you. In fact, the artful use of the adverb adjective presuppositions in the triples technique that we're talking about is a good way to fractionate people in and out of lighter and deeper trance states. Now, that's really cool. Here's the thing you got to be aware of, though. The people will go into trance regardless of the speed in which you say it. However, it's because the magic is in the language patterns, and if you've gotten good tonality control and pitch control and tempo control, then you've just magnified your skills. But that we cover that in the attribute section of the killer influence training, and we don't have time to cover it here. This is about language patterns. If you want to know about modifiers and amplifiers and all the other cool ways to make what you do, like conversational hypnosis on steroids, then you need to check out CPI or killer influence. Regardless, though, the magic is in the structure of the language. But it's not all there is to what we do. However, if you use the triple technique, which is easily, naturally, automatically, and it can be any three LY words, they just gotta seem to go together. If you say it too fast, the person listening will go into trance so quickly that they'll actually start to feel a little confused. They'll start to feel a little like this weird, uncomfortable feeling. Now, depending on the situation you're in, that may be good. However, most times when people start to have that weird feeling, they'll kind of back up step and you start to lose a little bit of rapport. So you want to pay real close attention to the speed at which your subjects talk. And if you just go a little bit faster, not a lot, just a little bit faster than the way they speak, you're going to find that they're going to have this, like a grease slide right into trance. You can also speed it up and slow it down, and you got people going up and down and in and out of trance. It makes you very, very compelling and very, very fascinating as a speaker. This one pattern, if you master it properly, is worth the price of admission. Worth 10 times the price of admission. This one paid my way through undergraduate college education on scholarships. Okay. In fact, all of the techniques I'm going to be sharing with you, I used in my undergraduate education pretty much to write my own ticket through my undergraduate school and even into acupuncture school. And that's just my professional skill. I mean, I've used them professionally. I can't even begin to tell you how it's paid huge dividends for me in my marketing, in my social and romantic life. These skills make you powerful if you practice them. I promise you, if you learn nothing else in this entire summit, learn these seven language patterns. So be careful using the triples technique. If you're going to use it in writing, there's a technique I like. It's called the two in the front, one in the back row. That sounds almost sexual, but it's not. Basically, what it means is if you're going to use the adverb, adjective, presuppositions, stay away from the triples. Okay? I found that two descriptors before the thing you want to describe, and one on the back end is usually enough to make people get sucked into what you're writing and really start to have vivid mental representations. So here's an example down below. Pay attention. Actually, close your eyes and listen carefully. This profoundly covert method of top secret hypnotic suggestion powerfully allows you to quickly and easily hypnotize your subjects instantly. How good did that feel? Because it's true. Now, let's parse this out. Let's look at it. This profoundly covert method, okay, so we've modified the The profoundly covert method, top secret hypnotic suggestion, powerfully allows you to quickly and easily hypnotize your subject instantly. Well, we have two on the front. There's your verb, your subject, and instantly there's one on the back right here. So this one actually kind of has overlapping adverb adjective presuppositions utilizing the two in the front, one in the back rule. This one's powerful. This one is utterly devastating in emails, on instant messenger, and it's good in speaking too, but this one specifically I use in writing. Okay? By the way, count the descriptors, and again, notice the placement once again, because it's very important. Two in the front, one in the back. So, now that you've got the theory, you've got the unconscious examples to model instantly, it's time for you to do some work. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to stop this videotape, and what you're going to do is you're going to write three generic sentences. Now, I only want one or two adverb adjective presubs in each one. So you might say, the dog excitedly ran around the yard, or she It's hard to be generic with this stuff sometimes. She quickly ran around the house. She quickly washed the dishes. She precisely measured the amount of flour in her cup. Just very, very generic sentences. Why? Because what we want you to do now is understand the structure. As you begin to understand the structure, you'll naturally start to become more powerful and comfortable with using your language this way. Now, the next level in your training is to take the same pattern, once you've internalized the structure powerfully, is you're going to write three sentences in the form of a hypnotic suggestion. So, and that hypnotic suggestion would be, if you were going to actually hypnotically program somebody to use these language patterns, these are ones you would use. So you might say, as you powerfully begin to wire in these language patterns, you'll instantly notice a new level of power in the way you speak. As you quickly understand how to use this language, you'll naturally feel good. As you begin the process of quickly assimilating these techniques, I'll bet you'll wonder how much more there is to learn. Get it? Now, once you've done that, we're going to get even more specific. Now, when you started viewing this tape or this video, my bet is you probably had a specific application in mind. Maybe it was to improve your dating and relationships. Maybe it was to improve your ability to, you know, close sales. Maybe it was your ability to sign up people through to your business in some way. What I want you to do now is I want you to craft three hypnotic sentences that are specific to the application that you're going to be working in. So you can begin to see how we migrate from generic to hypnotic to specific. Because I want you to be a cross-contextual hypnotist. I want you to be functional everywhere you go, no matter what. So what I want you to do now is stop the video, do this exercise, probably take you 15 minutes, read them out loud over and over again, and then come back to the video, and we're going to move on into the other six language patterns. We'll see you in just a bit. Welcome back, and hopefully you've done your exercises. If not, you probably just skipped ahead, which I know most of you are probably doing, but shame, shame. Do the exercises, do the drills, and get the skills. So if you haven't done them, stop now and go back and do the exercises. I'll wait. Okay. Let's talk about pattern number two, which is actually one of my absolute favorites when it comes to wielding massive amounts of hypnotic influence. This is called the awareness presupposition. And the way this works is it directs focus of attention, but it does it in a very cool way. It directs the focus of attention either externally or internally, and it automatically causes the target, in this case the target could be a subject, it could be a client, to undergo the process stated in the sentence. So not only does it direct your mind on what to on where to go, it actually starts you processing what we want you to process. So check this out. Oh, and by the way, anything following the awareness verb is presupposed in the sentence. So as you begin to notice all the ways that I'm directing your attention, you probably weren't aware of the sensations in your left ear until I mentioned it. And you probably didn't recognize or realize the sensations in your right foot until I pointed it out to you. So as you begin to understand how these language patterns instantly, automatically, effortlessly redirect your focus of attention and automatically cause you to undergo the process stated in the sentence, you can begin to notice how you can make anybody begin any internal process you want simply by saying and using one of these awareness patterns. That being said, what are some of these words and how do you use them? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here, once again, are my favorite words in this category. These are not exclusive. There are lots of other words that fall into this, and I highly recommend you get yourself a good thesaurus and practice using these words. So once again, we're going to start with the word salad exercise, which is, as you begin to notice how powerfully these words can affect your perceptions, and you realize with amazing awareness just how the understanding of this power, of this pattern, can cause you to move people's mind in a certain direction, you'll automatically recognize that simply using these patterns in a way that allows people to comprehend what you're saying will automatically begin to move their mind in a direction that you decide, and that they'll instantly begin to use in a process that is right and natural for them. But it's a process that you dictate. So as you comprehend all the ways that you can use this pattern powerfully, and you recognize the potential inherent in it, and you begin to understand the amazing ability of this pattern to direct minds, how quickly will you become aware and realize, for all the right reasons, how people just begin to notice what you want them to notice and feel good about it? Make sense? Good. So what I want you to do now is stop the tape for a few minutes. I keep saying tape, but we're actually in the digital age. So I want you to stop for a few minutes and write down a few adverb adjective presuppositions that are not listed here, but are basically your own. And practice the word salad exercise. And notice how much better you come at it very, very quickly. And I would practice doing these exercises 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day, once for each pattern. You know, 1 set of 10 for each pattern, just to get used to building sentences around specific marks. This is one of the ways that you actually prepare yourself to utilize embedded commands, by using with smaller, more conversational, less linguistically taxing structures. Okay? Do that now. Now that you're back, I got a few examples here just so you can see some more ways that we can utilize the awareness presupposition. So let me read these to you real quick and we'll move on. As you realize the power of these patterns, you'll naturally want to learn more. And as you become more aware of how these patterns work, you'll quickly find yourself using them to improve every aspect of your life. Have you noticed yet how powerfully these patterns work, even when you know they're being used on you for your highest good? That's right. Take some time. Matter of fact, one of the things you could do is you could actually write these patterns out and just look at the structure. Notice how they begin to engage your mind in all the right ways and get them going in a certain direction. It's pretty cool. Do that now. So it's drills and skills time once again. And I think you're going to see some, we're going to start moving very, very quickly now. And the reason we're going to be moving very, very quickly is because you understand the process. And as you understand the process, you'll naturally begin to do these drills automatically at the end of each section. Okay? You're very lucky because normally, unless you're in a full-blown CPI training or a killer influence training, you won't get this level of instruction on how to use and drill these hypnotic language patterns. So even though there's a lot more to learn, you're still getting a heck of a training here. And I really want you to enjoy this process. Okay? So, once again, using the awareness presupposition pattern, I want you to write 3 generic sentences just to get the structure. Write 3 hypnotic suggestions that you might use to actually hypnotically program somebody to use this pattern. And then I want you to write 3 application-specific suggestions or sentences that you might use in a meeting or in a classroom setting. I'm sorry, my voice is starting to go. But I think you get the message. So do that now. And then what I want you to do, though, is I want you to do what I call an integration drill, which is basically this. I want you to take the adverb adjective presupposition and the awareness presupposition, and I want you to write 3 sentences that combine the adverb adjective presupposition with the awareness pattern. And once again, you're going to do 3 general, 3 hypnotic, 3 application. You could do 1 of each, or you could do 3 of each. The more you write, the better you get. And here's the important part. You must practice speaking them out loud. If you can practice them in front of a mirror, or you can actually practice maintaining positive eye contact, then this will work even more powerfully for you. In Killer Influence, we talk about 3 different ways of using a covert hypnotic gaze to create powerful trance states so that your hypnotic language patterns just accelerate and deepen where they're already going. And your stuff just gets accepted even more. But we don't have time to do that right now. So what I want you to do is do your three, three, and three awareness drills, and then do your integration drill, and come back and we'll move on to the next pattern. Welcome back. And in this next section, we're going to be covering another really great pattern. This is called the temporal ordinal presupposition. Now, the strategic application of this particular language pattern is that it presupposes choice. It utilizes some aspect of time or numerical order to create presuppositions of choice. Times, durations, and numbers all presuppose things and actions. So here are some examples. Before, during, first, second, third, while. If we're going to do the word salad exercise, before you begin to integrate these patterns powerfully into your everyday language, during our training today, you'll naturally discover very specific and powerful exercises that after doing them, the first thing you'll notice is how quickly you can begin to just rattle off adverb adjective presuppositions in a way that's natural and easy for you. The second thing you'll instantly become aware of is how quickly people start to go into trance whenever you start to speak. And third, you'll begin to recognize the amazing potential that these language patterns have to offer in your ability to hypnotically persuade someone covertly and conversationally anytime, anywhere, for all the right reasons. And while that realization is sinking in, I'm wondering how quickly you'll start to do the next few exercises with even more pleasure and more excitement and more joy than you've ever thought possible. Because after all, before you started learning these language patterns, you didn't know just how good you could be. But during this training, you learn and are learning how to really get this stuff good. And as you get this stuff good, after just a few short practice sessions, you'll be amazed at how quickly you start using hypnotic language and people just start trancing out, aren't you? That's right. So stop the tape now. Do the word salad exercise. Come up with three of your own, and we'll move on. Now that you've created your own, you can compare and contrast with the structure we've got here. So, examples would include, while going into trance, you may notice certain sounds, very typical hypnotic suggestion. But while going into trance, everything that follows the while is presupposed. It's just naturally assumed that as they're going into trance, they may notice certain sounds. The thing that they may challenge, if anything at all, would be whether they'll notice it or not. But you notice how this particular pattern automatically begins to combine the temporal ordinal with the awareness presupposition. Notice the synergy. Another one. Before you sign, make sure you read everything carefully. Presupposes that they're going to sign what you want them to do. And all they have to do is make sure they read it. So what's the first thing someone's going to do when they get this suggestion? They're probably going to just read everything, and then they're going to sign it. It's that simple, and it's that direct. You don't have to do any linguistic, you know, gymnastics or anything like that. You can say, hey, before you go into trance today, make sure you take your shoes off. Or before you go into trance, sit down in the hypnosis chair. And you'll instantly see the minute they sit in the chair that's designed for hypnosis, especially if they've gone into hypnosis in that chair before, they're out. Okay? As long as you're congruent. You've got to be congruent and sincere with this stuff. Otherwise, it really doesn't matter how good you are at it. You only get a small effect. But the more congruent and the more rapport you have, and the more energetically you're connected to this person, the more powerfully these suggestions work. Now, the first thing you'll notice after coming out of hypnosis today is the profound feeling of relaxation you're having. Aren't you? Get it? Again, this is more in terms of a hypnotic interaction, but it doesn't matter. The structure is what's important. So, read your sentences out loud, copy these down and write them out, and then start using the same structure or same syntax, just change the content a little bit to more match your applications. Here's some more, by the way. During this training, you're learning the most effective methods of conversational hypnosis. While you are watching this presentation, your unconscious mind automatically learned how how to powerfully influence others to do what you want. And the first thing you'll discover after this training is how quickly and easily you'll be using these patterns effectively for all the right reasons to get exactly what you want. And that feels good, doesn't it? I love to use tag questions because it brings people out of their head and right into the present moment. And I don't know if I'll have time to cover that stuff, but it's there. It's like Raghu. It's in there. All right. The next pattern is the strategic application of spatial patterns. And what you do with a spatial awareness pattern is it causes vivid and compelling spatial relationships to appear in the mind of your listener. It evokes powerful, powerful mental imagery. Even in writing, it does this. Notice that everything we've covered in these first four language patterns is about description. It describes an experience in some way. That's what binds these four patterns together. Okay? Vivid, compelling descriptions. So here's an example. From among the many powerful words in this category, only the most compelling ones for you will enter your awareness now. Get it? Some examples that you can use in this category include, but are not limited to, overall, undergo, expand, beyond, among, to, from, arise, and enter. So, here's the drill. Overall, as you begin to undergo this process of training and to expand your horizons and capabilities that naturally, easily, and automatically allow you to go beyond even what you thought was possible, as you explore these powerful language patterns, from among the seven that you've learned will naturally emerge into your awareness the ones that are most vivid, compelling, and natural to you. And as they arise from your unconscious mind, you'll enter a profound state of bliss as you recognize that it only gets better from this moment on. And as that awareness arises from inside your mind to your conscious mind, among all of these language patterns, your mind will take you even beyond what you thought was possible and expand the capabilities of your ability to hypnotize people instantly, effortlessly, and automatically. So as people out in the real world begin to undergo the process of change as you begin to speak, overall you'll enjoy a much more improved and accelerated level of influence in every aspect of your hypnotic, social, and professional life. Now, do this exercise and practice it a lot. Drills and skills time. All right, we've already covered the word salad exercise, so you know how to do that. Once again, we're back to our same process. In a moment, I want you to stop the tape. I want you to write three generic sentences so you can wire in this pattern completely. Write three suggestions in the, write three sentences in the form of a hypnotic pattern. Write three that are specific to your desired application. And now, again, write three sentences that integrate all of the language patterns that you've been playing with to this point. And what you'll begin to notice is you're going to start to weave powerful, hypnotically compelling linguistic, for lack of a better word, magical spells. Magical spells that instantly cause people to pay attention to what you're saying. And as people pay attention to what you're saying, they're also paying attention to what goes on inside their mind. And in your mind, as you begin to create compelling stories that vividly represent everything that's being said for all the right reasons, you'll naturally find your unconscious mind integrating these skills powerfully, easily, effortlessly, and automatically. And the more you listen, the more powerfully your unconscious mind begins to imprint this skill set at a deep level. A level so deep that in just a few short moments, or even sooner, you'll naturally begin to speak and model these skills that I'm representing to you and have them coming out naturally, easily, effortlessly, and automatically for all the right reasons. And that's a cool thing because we're just getting started. Now, stop the video, do the drills, we'll be back in just a bit.